Good afternoon, everybody. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes is on 720 WGN. Are Ro and Anna back tomorrow, Judy?
I believe so.
You don't keep track of them?
I try, but sometimes they ignore my text.
I got a thumbs up from Jeff, so I think they're back tomorrow. You'll be back upstairs.
I will.
Back in the newsroom, mm-hmm. covering the heartbreaking news.
Yep. Just the facts.
Coming in just a minute, David Fahrenthold from the Washington Post spent a year covering the Trump campaign. He was one of the first reporters to start getting trouble from Donald Trump when he reported on some things that Donald didn't like, especially in regards to his charity. You remember when Donald Trump skipped the one debate because he was mad at Fox News.
Right.
So he had a big thing to do for veterans and raised money. And then he said, and we gave it all out. And so David just kind of followed up and, you know, all right, where did it go? And they didn't have answers. So then they started looking a little more, and Donald Trump did not like that.
Yeah, he had a very difficult job because I believe they said, well, we gave it all out, but it's a secret to, you know, where it went.
Yeah.
I mean, really? It's not easy to uncover that either. Very, very difficult.
Well, and the man who went through a lot of that work trying to figure out how to find where the money was going and if it really went anywhere at all is David Fahrenthold. He joins us on the phone right now. Hey, David, how are you today?
Great.
Thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us. So in the story, you talk about how you thought at first, I've got to cover Donald Trump and his charity. They raised this money. Where did it go? You thought this would be 2 days and done, didn't you?
That's right. I mean, he said in the beginning of the year that he'd raised $6 million for veterans, including $1 million from himself. And he made some effort to give it away to veterans groups. And I thought, wait, but he stopped giving away the big checks after he'd given away only about $1 million worth. And I thought, okay, well, I'll call them and they'll tell me where the other $5 million is, because who would stiff veterans in the middle of a presidential campaign? There must be an answer. So I'll call them and they'll tell me, oh, here's the list of all the money that went to. It'll take 2 days. It'll be over. But they didn't. They couldn't. They didn't. And it took months, actually, to get the answers out of them. So what I thought was a 2-day story became something that took me, you know, 9 months to really unravel.
And was it all of that coverage ended up being about his charities? It wasn't just general covering the campaign. It was really, did you have to spend 9 months trying to figure out what in the world's going on with the charitable contributions?
Well, yes, there was a brief interlude of the Access Hollywood video. But yes, most of it was about his, you know, his. So there were things.
Oh, you mean the real news?
Right, that was the real news, people, the one people paid attention to. So I went into it thinking, okay, I'm just going to write about whether Trump has followed through on the promises that he's made over his life, where he said, I'm going to give millions of dollars away. You know, did he actually do that? And I sort of stumbled on something that I didn't know I was looking for, which was that he had this charitable foundation, the Donald J. Trump Foundation, that turned out he was running it in ways that were illegal. He was breaking the law with his charity. And I didn't go in expecting to find that. I didn't really know that much about charity law. And then I kind of found it by accident. And that became a big focus of the coverage as the months went on.
That did. And at first, David, you thought, boy, this is really going to show that something does stick to Donald Trump, that this will be his weakness. I mean, didn't you think at first, oh, boy, here's the thing you had seen personally, all of these other early campaigns end that you had been covering before you ended up with Trump. And did you think at the time when this started leaking out, like, okay, this is going to be, you know, you knew something was going to bring him down eventually. Here's what it's going to be.
Well, I did not think that way at first because, you know, by that time, when I started writing about him, we had been through, you know, him saying that he was, you know, didn't like John McCain. He wasn't a hero because he was captured by the Vietnamese.
Right.
Things that would have, you know, Mitt Romney would have been banished from the nation if he'd said those things when he was in 2012, and Trump was still going. So I didn't have any illusion that I'm going to write one story and, you know, that'll change the state of the campaign. As it went on, though, I felt like, okay, well, I'm really telling people something that's important about Trump. Trump has spent his whole life sort of constructing this facade that he's a very generous person. Now I'm going to tell you something about whether he delivers on his promises, what he really thinks about the little guy that he's campaigning on helping. I thought, okay, well, you know, I didn't go into it thinking, well, I'm going to change the election. But I thought, okay, I can tell you something that's sort of important but hidden about Trump. I thought I did that. You know, obviously, he still won the election, so it wasn't like that was the only factor. But I was thought we were successful in letting people see this thing he didn't want people to see.
Now, he finally says at a press conference, I gave it all away. He was all mad at the media, specifically you, for reporting he hadn't. Did he indeed give all of that money away? Was it fully accounted for? Did that ever truly get answered to your satisfaction?
Well, we're talking about the $6 million he said he raised for veterans back in January. That was sort of where it all started.
Yeah.
So he had said, the interesting thing that happened in the middle was one of the $6 million, $1 million of the $6 million, Trump said, I'm going to give out of my own pocket. This is my money I'm giving away. And I couldn't find any evidence that he had. So finally in May, Corey Lewandowski, who was then Trump's campaign manager, called me and said, Trump's given away his $1 million. It's all given away, but I can't tell you who he gave it to or when or anything else. But just trust me, it's all gone. And that was completely wrong. That was a falsehood. The money was still in Trump's pocket. And it wasn't until I did some more reporting that Trump actually did give the money away. So then he had this press conference where he gave away the rest of the money that other people had entrusted to him to give away. So in the end, he did give away about $5.5 million, including his million and $4.5 million from other people of the six that he said he'd raise. So yes, that money actually went out the door, but only months later and only after a lot of checking by us did he actually do what he said he was going to do.
Were you surprised that you get this call from Corey Lewandowski? He says, yeah, it's spent. Trust me, I can't tell you where. It's over. Is that what does that speak to, that he would think a reporter isn't going to ask a follow-up or still check up on that? Were you surprised at the arrogance of that?
I was surprised that they did that, merely because you don't see presidential campaigns tell you, you know, a falsehood about something that is checkable, right? That's a fact. Maybe he thought that it was a fact that I would never be able to figure out, that it, you know, Trump keeps a lot of things about his finances and his taxes close to the vest, so it's hard to check them. And I think maybe he thought, okay, well, I'll tell him he gave this $1 million away, but I won't tell him where, and they'll just have to trust us on it. Maybe he thought there was no way to check it.
Do you think?
And truthfully, before social media, there wouldn't have been a way.
Do you think Corey knew that it hadn't been given away? It seems to me that it'd be very possible that Trump told him, I gave it away. Tell that guy, yes, I gave it away. It's done, blah, blah, blah. And he just said, all right, boss, I'll tell him.
Yeah, I have no idea what Corey actually knew. It's possible, yes, that he was relying on Trump's word. You know, I don't know whether he, you know, who was the person who sort of put that false fact into the bloodstream, but it might have been Corey, or it might have been somebody else talking to him.
And
when I asked Trump a couple of days later, I said, well, Corey told me you already given it away. He's like, oh, Corey wouldn't know.
And you mentioned social media. How did that all play into this?
Well, it's really transformed what I could do, right? 10 years ago, before Facebook and Twitter, if Corey Lewandowski told me, well, he gave the money away, well, how would I check it? There's 8 zillion veterans organizations. Even the subset of charities that deal with veterans is thousands and thousands. So I could call them, but you'd never be able to prove the negative, right? Like, you could never get all thousands and thousands of them to say, yes, definitively, we did not get this money. Or if you did, it would take you a year, and it wouldn't matter anymore when you found out. But with Twitter, I was able to say, and I was able to tweet my question at these big veterans groups, the DAV, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, that sort of thing, in a way that was public. So Trump could see that I was checking, and also other veterans groups could see it. So then maybe I didn't ask them directly, but I thought, well, if they got some of the money, they could come forward and say, hey, you didn't ask me, but here, I got some of this money.
And I love the way that worked, where it was, you know, the way it worked for the Trump campaign as well, that they knew what you were doing and they could see it, and that was kind of a warning to them.
Yeah, and I thought after my day of tweeting at these requested veterans groups, and none of them had gotten any of the money, I'd found nothing. I thought, well, I just wasted my time tweeting all day long. But Trump saw, and he reckoned. I mean, people think that Trump is, you know, shameless, or that he doesn't care what people think of him, or that he's Teflon. But he cared, right? He saw me out there checking for this money that he knew he had not given away, and he reacted to it. So that tells you something about him, and also about the ability, you know, of the press to affect his behavior.
Well, David, I think that we've found over these last 18 months that anybody can affect his behavior by tweeting something negative about him, though, don't you think? I mean, he's been surprisingly, as Teflon as he is, to immune to dips in the polls or not winning an election, things like that. He's very insecure when people are criticizing him, don't you think?
He's very distractible and very reactive. Yes, if you criticize him on Twitter, he definitely reacts to it. And, you know, but usually in a way that's vitriolic, you know, to insult those who've insulted him. What was interesting to me, both that time talking about his veterans promises and also more recently when he agreed to shut down the Trump Foundation, he's susceptible to, you know, what you might call shame or, you know, embarrassment by the truth, right? If you write about things or question things that reveal something truthful, but he doesn't want people to know, he will react to it. So, like I said, there's an idea that Trump doesn't care what people think of him, and he's just this, you know, shameless person who'll do things and then not care what the perception is. No, he cares deeply about how he's perceived. And if you write about, you know, truthful things that are embarrassing, he will react and sometimes change his behavior.
Well, and that's interesting because I see that much more as a fear. He will react and dig himself in deeper sometimes too, or do something unethical to make sure that, you know, he's not besmirched.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure that he does very many things proactively. He's a very reactive personality. But I think the thing people should take away from it is that he's not strategic in a broader sense. So one of the things that was really interesting about this is he doesn't operate on a grand plan. He operates for today, and his plans don't really extend much more beyond today. And so his, you know, when he reacts to these things, I think there's a tendency to now that he's won the election to say, well, this is part of some grand effort to do this or that, to, you know, demean the notion of facts in our society or something. I think often he's just reacting to what he just read. In some cases, that's embarrassment. In some cases, anger.
David, you got much deeper into this story. We need to take a quick break for traffic. Can you hold on just for a minute? Tell us the rest.
Sure.
They be good subs.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes on 720 WGN, 3:50 in the afternoon. Judy and I, Matt Bubala here with Judy Pilak. We're speaking with David Ferrantholt from the Washington Post. He spent a year basically digging into Donald Trump's charity, his foundation, and the checks that they wrote. So, David, after you get through with the whole veterans kerfluffle and where that money went, then your editors say, hey, as long as we're looking into this, let's take a larger look at the foundation and the money it spent over the years and where that went. Is that how that started?
That's right. After we had, you know, the foundation, I mean, the veterans coverage had ended, Trump had given the money away finally. They said, well, you know, basically, we've just seen how Trump behaved with money meant for veterans in the middle of a presidential campaign and how reluctant he was to actually give the money away. Let's step back and ask, okay, what was he doing with money when people weren't watching him, when nobody was paying attention? That's how we sort of started to look at his charitable giving and his charitable promises going back over his lifetime.
But they basically didn't give you any information. You just had to start from scratch trying to figure out. How did you try to figure out where the foundation gave money?
Well, we as you're right, we started out with the idea that Trump had promised millions and millions of dollars over his lifetime. His campaign says he's given tens of millions away out of his own pocket, but they wouldn't give any details about who he'd given it to or when. So, you know, the idea was not that I could find every dollar, but I thought maybe I could find the tip of the iceberg. You know, I could find, you know, some, you know, significant gifts over the years to some charities, and then you'd say, okay, well, this is a sign that he really was giving. So Trump's people would give me no details about that, no leads about charities to call. So I just started making up a list, and I tried to figure out what were the charities I thought Trump was most likely to have given to. So I looked at charities he gave money to from the Trump Foundation, which is we'll talk about that in a second, but it's a charity that he runs but is mostly funded by other people's money. I looked at charities that he praised on Twitter, charities where he'd gone to their galas, charities that did business with him by renting out the clubs he owns to have their galas. And I started making a list, calling them. Every one of them I'd call and say, hey, did you ever get money out of Trump's own pocket? And the list grew and grew and grew. I started writing it on a notebook and taking pictures of it. I got to 450 charities, in fact, looking for any evidence that Trump had been given these big gifts out of his own pocket that he'd been promising.
Wait, is this going to lead us to the portrait?
So that was, again, something that I didn't know I was looking for. So number 325 on my list of charities to call, I called this charity in Florida, and I said, look, the Trump Foundation, Trump's charity, gave you $10,000 or $20,000 a few years ago. But, you know, did he ever give you money out of his own pocket? And they said, no, but do you want to know what the $20,000 from the Trump Foundation was for? Sure. It was a giant portrait of Trump, a 6-foot-tall portrait of Trump that Trump had bought in a charity auction run by this group. And, you know, it's fine to buy a picture of yourself at a charity auction. I've never done it, but if offered the chance, maybe I would. But you can't use your charity's money to buy things for yourself. That's like the first rule of running a charity. The money in the charity isn't yours, and you can't use it to buy decorations for your home or for your bar. So, wow, Trump bought this huge portrait of himself. I set out sort of looking to try to find it. Where is it? Is it hanging on the wall of his house or his golf club or whatever? That would show us whether he'd misused that money out of the charity, the Trump Foundation.
So it's amazing in your story about how you started putting out the call that I'm looking for information on this stuff, and your Twitter followers just exploded. All these people jumped on the bandwagon to help you track down not just his charitable giving, but these paintings.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I thought when I got a picture of the painting of the portrait, but I couldn't use it. We didn't have the rights to it. But I thought, okay, well, I'll put this in a Google image search. So I put in this painting, a picture of Trump's face, in a Google image search, and thought, okay, well, it'll find another existence of this painting. Maybe I'll see it on the background in a photo of Trump's house. No, the Google image search says, I think this is an orange. This picture of Trump's face, is this an orange? It gives me all these pictures of oranges, but no pictures of the portrait. And so I put that out on Twitter, and I got thousands and thousands of people looking for this. I got people with celebrities. Other journalists would send me messages saying, you know, I spent my lunch break looking at other people's prom photos that were taken at Trump's golf courses, looking in the background for this painting. It became this sort of national scavenger hunt. It was amazing for me to see all these people sort of pitching in to help.
And did you eventually find it?
Well, so I didn't ever find the big one. What we know about it is that it was sent to Trump's golf club in Westchester County, New York, where it was the painter was told that it was going to hang on the wall of the corporate boardroom. But I don't know if it's there or not. What we did find was another portrait of Trump, a 4-foot tall one that he'd also bought with charity money for $10,000 in 2014. So that he bought two giant portraits of himself for a total of $30,000 using money meant for charity. That one we did find. My Twitter followers tracked it down through some incredible sleuthing, hanging on the wall of the sports bar at Trump's golf course outside Miami.
And
you can't do that. I should say that.
Right, I was going to say, is that illegal?
That's completely illegal.
Yeah, okay.
You can't use money in your charity to decorate the wall of your for-profit business.
But so what's been the fallout from that? I mean, we heard that story. You broke this a while ago. I know the foundation is closing down. What was the fallout from this painting being bought by the foundation? Is anything going to happen?
Well, the New York Attorney General, who supervises charities in the state of New York, is investigating the Trump Foundation. And they're investigating a number of things, but including these acts of apparent self-dealing. And there were others where Trump used the money in his foundation to pay off lawsuits that his businesses were involved in. So he's investigating that. That investigation is ongoing. Even though Trump has said he's going to shut down the foundation, he can't legally shut it down until he resolves that investigation. The IRS may also be investigating. We don't know. They will not comment about that.
Do you think anything is going to come of this investigation-wise? I mean, are you...
I mean, in terms of what will happen with the New York Attorney General's investigation, my bet is that Trump will admit some wrongdoing. He's already sort of started the process of that. He'll pay penalty taxes. He'll refund the money that he used from the foundation to benefit himself, and then the foundation will give its money away and shut down. I don't think that we'll see criminal charges or anything like that coming out of it. I see some penalties paid and the eventual shutdown of the foundation. I thought that was going to happen anyway. I thought he would have to do it legally, and now he wants to do it as a part of sort of ending his conflicts of interest or trying to reduce them.
Well, it's a story we hear over and over again, isn't it? I'll just pay a fine, it'll go away, and it does. And
For Donald Trump, now that he's going to become president, there's so many news cycles that are going to break away from this. Once he pays the fine, this will just go away. I mean, this isn't going to stick
until
like it
the
was
next
able
thing
to.
Comes up.
Through, well, something else will come up. That's the issue. David Fahrenthold is the reporter for the WashingtonPost.com. So much more in the story we didn't even have time to get to, including what happened when the Billy Bush tapes came out. You can read it at WashingtonPost.com. David Fahrenthold, thanks so much for jumping on the phone.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 357, Matt and Judy in on 720 WGN.